Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to yet another episode of the Philly Mick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Mick.
And I'm the Philly Hump.
Welcome to, what is usually known as the worst Sunday of the year. First official Sunday where we have no football.
Yeah, it really is the worst Sunday of the year. I mean, I always sit here, like, it does seem like every year on that Sunday, it's like, you just sit there and you're like, oh man, what is there to watch? And you realize there's nothing until, you know, August. There's no football at all.
Wow.
And it's depressing.
Yeah, no, it's, you're right. I mean, thank God at least Walking Dead comes back tonight. But, anyway.
Yeah, I never watched it, but.
Oh, well, there you go. All righty. Obviously, there are plenty of things upcoming as free agency starts in a couple weeks. And then the draft is, first round is April 30th. Second round, third round is the first, and then the rest of the crap is the second. But,
so we get that to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some things, but I think typically, you know, February and into March is probably one of the slowest, worst times to be a sports fan. As, you know, football season's over, baseball hasn't started yet, not that we have too much to look forward to in Philadelphia, but... Yeah, hockey season's, you know, kind of going on, but, like, you know, the push for the playoffs hasn't really started yet. Yeah, exactly. And basketball, same kind of deal. It's, you know, season's, you know, midway through, but there's no, you know, the push for the playoffs hasn't started. College basketball is starting to wind down, and obviously that's the saving grace in March is March Madness.
Yeah, if not for March Madness, I don't know what I would do between February and, well, September.
Wow. as always, you can call into the show. You can follow us on Twitter, @_Philly_Mick, @_Philly_Hump. Download our shows on iTunes. Like us on Facebook and all that jazz. So, anyway. Let's, you know, before we get into our typical Eagles talk, we at least try to, you know, mix it up a little bit. as we are, you know, a four sport, all Philadelphia, and obviously national news, but, you know, we definitely are heavy on the Eagles. So we like to.
Sure. Is anybody a guess what a guess? No. They won't figure it out.
Anybody who listened to 3 seconds of our show knows that we are predominantly Eagles talking here. But I wanted to bring up Phillies. Not that there's much to go on with the Phillies, but spring training is coming up rather soon. So at least that's kind of exciting, although, like I said, there's not much going on as far as the Phillies. Their offseason's been terrible. We've gotten rid of every halfway decent player we have.
Yeah, they haven't traded Cole Hamels, Chase Utley, or Ryan Howard, which I know everybody is waiting to see if they be able to pull off a deal to trade Ryan Howard.
I think they would have if they could have already.
I agree.
I think Cole could still get dealt. I think they're just kind of weighing the options and trying to get the most they can, you know, for a legitimate number one starter. So.
Yeah, absolutely. As they should. They should be doing their due diligence right now. Don't rush into a deal that you don't have to make.
Right. So, and I think... you know, there's also Papelbon talks that's, you know, off and on constantly.
please trade Papelbon. He might be one that you might get more suitors for later in the season. You get some injuries. You know, teams that are desperate for bullpen help.
Sure.
You know, may be more likely to make a deal for Papelbon.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly see that. And obviously, if I think if Cole doesn't get dealt before spring training, I think he could be another one that could be a
deadline deal.
Deadline deal, exactly. So, you know, that's certainly something we're going to have to wait and see on. Obviously, with Ruben still at the helm, you know, crazy things
happen. Yeah, it doesn't leave you a whole lot of confidence.
No, so. But as I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 347-989-0699. So go ahead, call us in, talk about whatever you want. It's your show.
Please get us away from the Phillies talk.
Yeah, we'll talk about anything. So, but yeah, so obviously we have spring training coming up. We have the Flyers deciding whether or not they're going to make a push for the playoffs, if they can. Or
they're 500 right now.
Yeah, or potentially tank to get a top five pick, which would get us quite a talented player. As I think, this is one of the better drafts in a long time for the NHL, and top five guys are pretty solid. So I think that would be. Personally, I think that would
be
a way to go.
Move.
Yeah.
Take the Sixers model and tank.
Basically. I mean, it's tough to say that, obviously. I don't think anybody.
Sure, it's tough as a fan.
Tanking, but.
It's tough as a fan to turn on a game and basically hope that your team is going to lose. I mean, that's not something that you enjoy as a fan.
No.
Yeah, no matter how much we can say that we buy into the Sixers' plan and knowing that that's the way they should go, it's hard to buy into it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, and with the Flyers, you know, there's a lot of bad contracts still on this team.
Sure.
You know, and I don't think, you know, they have some good talent. You know, waiting in the wings, so to speak, but you also have a lot of money that is just kind of sitting there that you have to kind of get rid of before you can really move on with this team. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they do that. Obviously, it would be ideal if they could go ahead and trade some of the high-priced garbage that we kind of have, but...
And that's another situation where you get caught in trying to deal contracts, and teams don't want to take on those contracts because, hey, you're trying to get rid of them, and that's probably for a reason.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, our defense is kind of terrible. In fact, the two cheapest guys on our defense, are probably the best defenders we have right now, and that's pretty sad. You know, Coburn's making a ridiculous amount of money. Obviously, Tiemannin's still on contract, even though he's been dealing with some injuries.
Some medical issues.
Could be coming back soon, but, you know, we're not really sure. But, you know, it's kind of...
And I think the best case for him would be if he could come back soon before a trade deadline and, you know, play some, and then maybe you can deal him and get something for him. Because think of it, if he were to come back healthy and be fresh, not have the injuries that you have from playing a long season, team might be willing to give up something good to get Akeemo Kiemann in for a playoff push.
Yeah, very true. So, I guess we'll have to see how that all shakes out. But it's kind of sad that the fact that the Flyers are kind of in this limbo spot and. You know, they have a good amount of talent on the team. It's just, you know, they don't have enough of it. You know,
yeah,
Dvorak,
I think that's
Drew.
The, I think that's the key there. You said they've got some talent, like you just said, you know, Simmons, Giroux, Voracek, but they don't have enough. They're not deep enough at the skill positions in order to make a run.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, something's got to give for the Flyers, so it will be interesting to see which way they kind of take the team in the next couple of months, whether they go for the bottom or they try to push for the top. So we'll
again,
keep an eye on that.
You want your players out there pushing to try and get to the top. I mean, you know.
Oh, well, sure.
Management doesn't necessarily need to do that.
Right. No, obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see whether the push will actually happen and if they'll start climbing the standings or if they'll start falling. So.
Right, because the fan in me does want to see the team make a push.
Oh, absolutely.
Go forward.
You know,
yeah.
Of course, let's win 10 games
in
a
row.
Yeah, let's you know, let's start getting some wins in and start you know, climbing and getting in the playoffs. Anything can happen, especially in the NHL. But
sure.
You know, I think we've all, you know, even if they get hot at the right time, I think we can all see that this team is in a playoff or is a Stanley Cup contender.
That's how where the realist comes in. Yeah.
Right. So, but so that's your Flyers. Sixers are they're not doing so bad. They've got a couple wins.
It could hurt their lottery. You know,
right.
Chances, but.
I think they're two games out of last place, so it's, you know, it's a little, got a bunch of games left. They're third right now. I think a half game ahead of the Knicks, and then, like I said, about two games ahead of the Timberwolves. So hopefully the Timberwolves and Knicks start winning some games.
Yeah, hopefully. I never thought I'd be in a situation where I'd want the Knicks to win some. But.
Right, so we got to... We got to hope that they all start winning and Sixers continue to do what they're doing. But again, while they're winning here and there, I think there's a lot of moral victories that they seem to have. And, you know, you can see the progression of the players, you know, Michael Carter-Williams and Noel.
And that's what we wanted to see this year. I mean,
right.
You know, obviously we wanted to see the team lose, but we wanted to see some progression by guys like MCW. Could he take a step forward again, rookie of the year, and now can he just build on that? And Nerlens Noel finally getting on the court. And he's really grown, I think. He's taken a lot of big steps forward as a player this year.
Sure.
He still needs to do some work on the offensive end, but you know, we knew that coming in.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's certainly working on it. And, hey, you know, some players develop differently. I mean, you look at somebody like Anthony Davis, who's pretty much one of the best players in the league right now. Well, his first year was kind of terrible. Second year, saw the improvements and all that, and now he's, you know, averaging 25, 26 a game, 12 boards, most blocks in the league. You know, he's a force. So,
And again, we don't need Nerlens Noel to do, you know, to progress that great. I mean, if he does, that'd be phenomenal.
But as long as he
just continues to progress, I mean, that's great. Now, what you're looking at, and I like the way his season arc has gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if we can get him averaging double doubles every night, I think that would be fantastic.
That'd be phenomenal, yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. So hopefully that continues, you know, and Sixers will hopefully in the next couple of years be a contender, you know, in the East and not so stuck in that 7-8-9 range.
You don't want to be one of those teams stuck in that 7-8-9 range.
No, that's NBA hell, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. You'd rather be with the Sixers are closer now to a championship than they were when they were the eighth seed and got a nice upset over the Chicago Bulls. So let's face it, Derrick Rose got hurt, and so did a couple other guys.
Right.
Like half their starters went down in that series. And so
And we barely
got a chance.
We still barely won.
Yeah, and then, you know, we had a nice favorable matchup against Boston in the second round and forced them to a seventh game. Which,
yeah.
I mean, I watched that game, but I can't say at any point did I really believe the Sixers were going to win that game, that seventh game. And I'd say right now, with the way that they're building, they're closer to a championship now than they were then.
Yeah, well, I agree. You know, especially with two players waiting in the wings, and Embiid and Sarge and...
And then, you get this year, which
hopefully
they really need a shooter.
Pick.
Yeah.
Well, I think if they get the number one pick, I think, you know.
We take who the top guy is. I mean,
right, exactly. Whether, you know, you work that out later.
Right.
So,
and even if you have to work
a
deal later on to get a shooter, deal one of these bigs that you've been building up with.
Yeah.
And get a shooter. I mean, you can do that. That's here because they're such a young team and they're so far under the cap. And, hey, look, you draft that guy, and if you decide you can make a run, then you can go out and sign a free agent shooter. And if you're really that close, a free agent's going to want to come here and be a part of that.
Yeah, hopefully. So, all right, well, I think we've done our due diligence.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
Discussed some of the other sports here.
Yeah, I think we discussed all three of them. Let's get into some Eagle talk.
I know.
Or at least
some
football talk. Because
I
want to ask your opinion on that the controversial play from the Super Bowl. The play call there where Seattle called the pass and, of course, it's picked off by a great, well-executed defensive play by New England.
Sure.
What is your take on that play call? Obviously, the easy answer is to say, oh, they should have run it with Marshawn Lynch, which they've stated was their plan to do afterwards. What would you have done if you were offensive coordinator? What would you have done on that play without knowing the end result?
Well, personally, I would have probably passed, but I would have looked more on the outside just because the middle looked pretty pretty busy there. But I think everybody in the world, you know, thought run, and you know at some point you were going to have to pass because you only had one timeout. So say if on second down you did run and Marshawn didn't get in, you're going to have to call a timeout, and you had, you know,
and then everybody knows the pass is coming on third down.
Well, exactly. So then on third down you're going to have to pass, and or more likely at least on third and fourth. So,
well, of course, you could run whatever you wanted. But,
well, sure. I mean, technically, yeah, you could just run it. But, yeah, I think you were going to have to pass anyway, so why not just do it on second when everyone's sick and run anyway? I don't think it was necessarily a bad decision to pass. And when you actually look at this, you know, the slow motion of the play develop, you know, by the time Wilson is throwing it, dude is wide open. He's already making the cut. He's wide open. Butler comes literally out of nowhere. Granted, he did make a little bit of contact before the ball got there. Whatever.
But he was making a play on the ball, I felt. Yeah.
Well, sure. But, you know, I think the credit needs to really go to Butler. As
I agree.
He saw something, and in an instant, made a decision and ran up to make that play when, honestly, a second before, Butler was nowhere near it. The guy was wide open, and all he needed to do was just catch the ball and take a step in the end zone. Touchdown, game winner, Super Bowl champs. So I don't blame the decision by Wilson to throw it when he threw it. I don't blame the call. I just think it was one of those things where, you know, it just happened. Obviously, you know, you're going to take a look at it and dissect it and say, hey, it was the wrong call because it didn't work. But if he would have scored a touchdown,
sure,
he would have been a genius. So,
you're
but it looks like
if it works, you're an idiot if it doesn't.
Absolutely. So it looks like we actually have a caller on the line. Let's go ahead and bring this person on in. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing good.
Hi,
how are
you?
Hey, just want to say, long-time listener, first-time caller. I got a question about track and field.
You guys know anything about track and field?
We know everything about everything.
Fast.
So.
Okay, well, here's my question. In a race in an obstacle course between a stoner and a cop with a joint and a donut at the finish line, who's coming in first?
That's a tough one.
I'm saying a stoner because I'm saying he gets the, you know, he's, those are both of the things he wants, because after he smokes, then he's going to want to grab the donut.
That is a good point. That is a good point.
Good point.
But also, the cop will, I'm sure, want to.
Yeah.
You would think.
Theoretically, he should be.
Theoretically, yeah. In better shape. But the cop would also want to get to the joint to make sure he puts it in evidence.
Exactly.
And then, obviously,
yeah.
Celebrating his good job, he would eat the donut.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, is the donut on a plate? Is it safe? Is it not, you know, it's not going to be just on the ground so he can still eat it? I don't know. That's a good question.
There's a lot of variables here that I think
we really
need to set up and actually do this in real life.
Well, I would love to view that if you ever do set up some sort of obstacle course like that.
Is it going to be an obstacle course?
Is it going to be like, you know, they got to jump over jumps, like climb fences or something? Well, wouldn't it be like a cop chasing a stoner? So it would have to be fences and benches.
Sure, it would have to be an obstacle course. Absolutely. Well, we'll have to set this up because I apparently have the perfect two people to run said obstacle course.
All right, guys. Going to go back to listening.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Appreciate it. classic. long story short, that actually was something that was proposed by one of our longtime callers, Dennis.
Our former producer.
Who you could obviously tell would be the stoner in said obstacle course. But yes, it was.
And I guess Mazzone would be the cop in that.
No, actually not. No, actually not. Because I think if it was Mazzone, well, I don't know. Mazzone probably wouldn't. He'd probably just get lazy and be like, "Ah, screw it." But no, it was actually the caller we had on the line. But anyway,
okay.
We cannot confirm that though. That's just hearsay.
Sure.
Right. So, but anyway, yes, that's something that we jokingly thought would be hilarious to view. So maybe in the summertime.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe
I'd
in the
be
summertime.
All about that. Yeah.
We'll set something up. We'll put some, you know, things to jump over, maybe a fence, some dogs running around,
Yeah, you'd have to have the dogs going around. I mean,
it's not a true
cop and stoner
right.
race if you don't have that.
Right, naturally. So, and we'll figure something out because this definitely would needs to be happening. So,
yeah, this definitely does.
Naturally.
And we need
dogs
to come up with
everywhere.
A way to video this and upload it onto like a site somewhere where people can view this.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
With a
yeah,
link on that site to our show.
Well, of course, we're going to obviously sponsor said obstacle course.
You got to be able to download our show.
that's funny. But what were we talking about? Good Lord.
We were talking about the Super Bowl play.
Circling
back around, natural segue.
I think it was a fine play call. It just didn't work. That's all it is. Let's not make more of it than we need to. It was a great play by the defender. Pete Carroll would have been a genius if it would have worked. Now he's a ghost.
I guess if I were to nitpick, and that's all I'd be doing here, is, you know, maybe I would have liked to have seen a play action or a rollout with Wilson to, you know, hit somebody
in the
corner.
Exactly. Rollout would have been great.
Again.
That way he could have seen the field, and if you didn't see anything, just tuck and run. Whatever.
Yeah. But again, I feel like I'm being nitpicky by saying
that ball could have done that. Like I said, if that ball would have been in his hands, you know, 0.2 seconds earlier, he would have caught it and he would have scored a touchdown.
And Russell Wilson's a Super Bowl hero.
Absolutely. So it is what it is. So I don't look too much into it. It's, you know, crap happens. So
yeah.
But
it was just a well executed by the New England defense.
Absolutely.
And it didn't even have anything to do with any footballs being deflated.
Yeah, very true.
Wait, something to say at the Super Bowl party at the old man's house. That I believe we rode that joke right into the ground. The whole
shockingly.
I know.
I was going to say you riding a joke into the ground. Get out of here.
I know that never happens.
Never happens. Never. But I was going to say we only have a couple of minutes left, but
and we haven't.
You
even
know, we obviously have. Yeah, we technically haven't. So maybe we should start doing that.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, we have, I guess 3 weeks until free agency.
Right.
You know, I think there's obviously going to be a continued lot of talk of who we're going to draft, whether or not we're going to trade up for Mariota. And I think a lot of that does depend on how well we do in free agency. I think if we go ahead and we get a safety and a cornerback, then...
Yeah, then the Eagles can start to feel free to say, all right, well, we addressed our two other main needs.
Right.
So that we can go all in to try and get our quarterback.
Absolutely. So if they sign Maxwell and, say, McCourty, you know, they shore up the defensive backfield where, you know... Kerry Williams isn't, the number one anymore. He'd be a number two, which I'm more than fine with.
Sure.
You know, obviously, what's-his-face continuing to be the nickel, Carroll being
Boykin,
yeah. Thank you. Couldn't think of his name. Carroll continuing to be the dime. I think that's a fine defensive backfield. And if you want to sign Nate Allen to come in and be the, you know, the third safety kind of deal, that's fine.
Yeah, with that Hankins and McCarty in the back.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's more than fine. So I think right there, if you sign those two players and re-sign Nate Allen, I'm okay with all of that. I think.
And on the offensive side, obviously, you have to re-sign Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can sign both of those defensive backs and then go make a push for another big-time receiver like a Dez Bryant or Darius Thomas.
See, I kind of feel like we can. I've done nothing but figuring out cap space and dissecting potential moves that will help to obviously free up more cap space. I feel for Macklin's talent, and what he's going to want as far as money is concerned, I feel like it doesn't match up. I feel like the money is more than the talent. And I think there are a couple of free agents that are out there. Now, obviously, Dez and Demaryius may never reach free agency. But you still have some other good names out there. Randall Cobb is a great name. I think you kind of got to play it out and see how much, how much money that Macklin's looking for, how much money, a Cobb would be looking for, and how much money a Demaryius or Dez would command, and you kind of got to take it from there and see what's worth it. I think in the long run, we're going to have over $30 million in cap space. I think if you could sign...
They might be able to afford it, but does it seem like a move that would be very consistent with the Eagles have been wanting to do ever since the botched Dream Team attempt?
I hear you, but, that was a different coach. That was a lifetime ago. I don't think Chip's going to say, hey, well, it didn't work the last time the organization tried it. No,
and that's probably a big advantage
of
the fact
Chip
that
wants
Chip
to do.
Kelly doesn't have to answer to anybody.
No, Chip Kelly can say screw it. So, but anyway, we're running out of time. We'll see everyone in the podcast. Make sure you download the show on iTunes. Check us out on Twitter. So for the Philly Mick.
I'm the Philly Hump.
Thanks for listening, Philadelphia. All right. Looks like we are on live. I think when it comes down to it, Maxwell and McCourty aren't going to be $10 million a year. Right?
Right. No, I wouldn't imagine so.
No. I could see seven.
Right.
Yeah, they're good, decent players. So let's call them seven a year.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Let's call them seven and a half a year.
Yeah,
so that's 15 mil.
Yeah, seven and a half. Yeah.
So that's 15. That's half your free agency money, right?
Right.
Now, obviously, mm-hmm. you're going to have to sign a couple small people to, small contracts, whatever, fill in some gaps. So let's just say that takes up another $5 million. So you're left with another $10 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Roughly. Now, granted, the last time I checked, I thought I got them up to about $34 million. So let's just say 30 and change. So why not use that $10 million that you have left and a little bit of change if necessary, and if Demarius is sitting there, go get Demarius or go get Dez and ball out. Now, do you know Chip's going to want to do that because Chip's offensive-minded? So if Chip's like, hey, I can get a top-five wide receiver and I can pair him with one of the better rookie wide receivers and
Jordan Matthews,
I can sign somebody like, say, a Kenny Britt, who personally I think would be a great fit here if he could stay healthy. You combine the having those as their 1, 2, and 3, and then have stupid ass Cooper as your 4. All right, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. In fact, I'm great with that. Combine that with Salek and Ertz and McCoy and Sproles and Polk. And so then after that, you say, let's go all in and get Mariota. You say, all right, let's trade Nicky Foles and our number 1 and number 2 to get down into like the 10, 8, 9 area, depending on, who you can trade to it with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take that pick to trade up to 5 to get ahead of the Jets. Obviously, you wait to see if Mariota has fallen to at least 5.
Well, sure. At that point, you're not making a deal unless, yeah.
Right.
If Mariota goes 2, you're not trading up to.
Right.
Well, that brings up the great question. You make that deal, you get up to, say, 7, 8, or what have you, or 9.
Yeah.
And then Mariota goes number 2. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, obviously at that point you're screwed, but you don't.
Yeah.
I think there's an easy way to do a 3-way deal. Say, hey, listen, we'll give you Nicky Foles, we'll give you our 20th pick, we'll give you our 2nd-round pick, and, we'll throw in a 4th-round pick just for sitch and giggles. And then you talk to the guy who's 5, and, obviously when it comes up to that, if Mariota has fallen to 5, and you go, hey, listen, we got a deal worked out with St. Louis that we're going to get the 8th pick. It's like, we can give you that 8th pick. You're only dropping down 3 spots, and we can give you next year's 1st, next year's 2nd, and, whatever. Add whatever you got to add, picks-wise, to make the deal work. I don't know about you, but if somebody wanted to give me an extra 1st and a 2nd-round pick to drop down 3 spots, I'm probably going to do that unless I'm like,
certain
player, a la Mariota. So,
if they're a team interested in Mariota, you're probably not calling them. You're calling the team ahead of them.
Well, and that's why you're getting ahead of number 6, who is the Jets,
right?
More than likely would take Mariota should he fall. That's why you're
not
trading
the Redskins
with
5. Cause I'm thinking you have to trade up to 4. Yeah. So you'd have to trade up to 4.
I don't necessarily think. I don't believe that. I think the Redskins would know a good deal when it hit them in the face. Redskins aren't going to.
Yeah, but I think the Redskins wouldn't want to make a deal that helps us go get Mariota. Even if
it is Daniel Snyder.
I guess this is where you and I are going to hit a snafu here, because I just don't think that the Redskins would be willing to make that deal, knowing how much that would help the Eagles. And knowing that if they were to just stay put and not get all this extra, they could really be sticking it to us and making sure that we are in a tough spot for a while at quarterback.
Because then I understand that. But then that would mean that no two teams in the same division have ever made a trade before.
Well, it's very rare.
It happens all the time.
A sweet deal that the other team is just like, well, I just can't turn it down just because they're a division rival.
All right. So in your scenario, I'm trading up an extra spot. It's no big deal.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that couldn't work. I'm just saying that you probably have to go.
So what is it? It's Jacksonville, Tennessee, then who? And somebody. The Raiders are either 3 or 4. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I think the Raiders is 3 and Jacksonville's 4, I believe.
Is that what it is?
I think
so. Well, either way, so you trade up with one of those two teams to get ahead of the Redskins, if necessary.
And I think the Jaguars would be willing to make that deal. Because if you offer the same thing to them, the Jaguars, they don't need a quarterback right now. Blake Bortles, who they have a lot of faith in, looked really good the second half of the year.
Yeah.
If I'm Jacksonville, I am absolutely salivating over that deal. Because then you could have two number ones next year. I mean, granted, one might be in the mid-20s or something, you know.
Still.
Yeah.
There's a person you want next year, you take both
you
your picks
and
you trade up and you get exactly who you want.
Because, I mean, let's be honest, even though Jacksonville's an improving team, probably picking towards the back end of the top 10 next year. I really think if they make some improvements, that's where they'll be, you know, like 8, 9, somewhere in that area.
Possible, yeah.
Which is a great improvement for the Jaguars. And then if they were to have, say, the ninth, yeah, I know, it's sad to say, but say if they were to have the ninth pick, and then let's say like the 25th pick or something like that. You know, 9 and 25 is a desirable area. You know, you can make a deal to then say, hey, we'd like this, we love this offensive tackle or something that's supposed to go in the top 5. You can trade 9 and 25 to get up in the top 5.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, and I think, again, there's definitely a way. I think that a lot of people are out there are saying, we'd have to give way too much up. We're going to have to give up Shady McCoy, or we're going to have to give up Fletcher Cox and all that. No, you're not.
You're going to give up a lot of picks. And again, if you feel like your team is just a quarterback away, which if we were to sign McCourty and Maxwell, I would feel like this team is just their franchise quarterback away.
Say this scenario happens. Free agency, we sign McCourty, we sign Maxwell. We sign Demaryius.
I really don't see any reason why you'd care about holding on to your picks.
We sign a couple other, fill-in pieces here and there, but those are the major guys. Why would you not go all in at that point?
There'd be no reason to not go all in.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even people say, you've got to build your 53-man roster. See, that's like, you're giving up your first and second. You still have third, fourth. Like, those are the areas where you'd be filling out the rest of your roster anyway.
Absolutely. So in the long run, we'd probably be giving up this year, next year's, probably our first two picks, and Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Maybe a third somewhere, maybe a fourth somewhere. But I think that's enough to get it done.
Sweeten the pot a little with a fourth round pick from the 2015 draft.
Absolutely.
And you have to throw in the fourth from the 2016 draft. I'm okay with that if that means you're going up and you're getting your quarterback that's going to be your guy for the next 10 years.
Right. I mean, think about it. You know, this past year we didn't do so great on our first round pick, right? We basically got a first round pick that we redshirted.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, that would have been great if we had traded our first round pick to sit for, I don't know, anybody in the top 10 first round pick this year. Even if it was like, who is it that has two first round picks?
Cleveland?
Buffalo, Cleveland. Do they have two first-round picks again?
I thought Buffalo. Or maybe Buffalo. Maybe it is Buffalo.
Yeah, if you made that deal then, it's just like, hey, Buffalo, we'll trade you, picked one instead of, taking Marcus Smith. Yeah, we'll trade you this first-round pick for your first-rounder next year. How nice would that have been? And then being able to say, all right, now we can, and we got two picks to play with to go move up to into the top five to try and get Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, absolutely. It would have been great. But, that is what it is. But I think that should be the game plan. I think it's all going to depend on what we end up doing in free agency. If for some reason we don't get a safety, a solid safety, and a solid corner, I think that it's more likely that we hold on to our pick, maybe even move slightly up, but to get either, say, Landon Collins or Waynes from the cornerback from Michigan State. So,
that's
the way to go.
Is it March 2nd, right, is free agency begins?
I believe so, yes. Beginning of March.
So we'll definitely, on March 1st, the Sunday before, we'll be breaking down free agency.
That's for sure.
For everybody, again.
Yes.
Not to say that.
And then hopefully the next show after that. Yeah, hopefully the next show after that we'll be celebrating signing all these great players. Hopefully.
Yeah. And I figure after that, that's when we need to start doing our mock drafts.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's no point in doing mock drafts this early. I mean, obviously plenty of people do.
It's silly.
There's still way too much that is unknown.
And we'll be we've got the combine coming up in 2 weeks.
Right,
I am incredibly excited for.
Yes, as am I.
Cannot wait to watch the combine.
I know.
And already know that the week of the combine is one of my weeks where I'm off Tuesday and Wednesday. I will be playing it on the couch watching the combine.
That's nice. That's the goal for the Eagles, and we'll keep a close eye on it, but. All we can do is hope and pray that they make the moves that we all think that they are capable of and have the money to do. And hopefully they do some of the moves like cutting a Casey and restructuring Shady or restructuring Cole and, a couple other players that could use, some money and cut some ties with some people that, make some good salary. And, we end up with 30-plus million in cap space, and we go, we go all in, exactly. It's not going crazy. It's not Dream Team Part 2. It's, we're getting
two to three solid
players to make this improve on some of the areas that we need to improve on. So it's simple.
We're going to find out
in
a couple of weeks, as we get to where teams are going to have to designate franchise tags.
Yeah. That'll definitely determine whether or not Demarius and Dez hit the market. I'm not so confident that Dez will. I think there's more of a chance that Demarius does. But again, both teams have two players that are star players that they gotta try and sign with Demarius
DeMarco
and
Murray,
Julius
and
Thomas
George.
And DeMarco Murray and Dez. So. We'll see how that all falls out. Obviously, we don't need a running back, so we hope they franchise their running back, and we don't need a tight end, so let's hope they franchise their tight end in Denver. So,
and it'll be a lot cheaper for Denver to franchise a tight end. So if they are going to use a franchise tag, I would assume it would be on Julius Thomas, not Demarius.
Yes, hopefully. But
if you're
going to
franchise
time,
a wide receiver.
Yeah, no, it's good.
You might as well
just
find him. Yeah.
Right. But we're running out of time. We're trying not to get cut off again like we always do. But we want to thank everybody for listening live. Obviously, make sure you download this podcast on iTunes and blogtalkradio.com. You can always check up on our Facebook page. You can actually click the link there on the Facebook page and listen to the old shows. But also make sure you follow us on Twitter at @_Philly_Mick and @_Philly_Hump. And make sure that you're keeping up with us, and we'll see an exciting Eagles offseason, hopefully. But, well,